Is that working okay? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Slightly embarrassed, actually, after listening to Lorraine. The fairness sign at the academy, I've been past it 50 times and I've never read it and never noticed the evidenced decision-making part of it. Absolutely, I'm looking forward to reading it. I'm just going to talk quickly, conscious of time, about an RCT that I ran with the University of Queensland in 2014 in conjunction with University of Queensland. And they came to us, as you would have seen from the slide. They hadn't done many experiments with us. They asked forensics, because I worked in forensic services then, to come up with something that could be of value. I want to thank Dr. Emma Antrobus, who's one of the staff of Professor Mazerol. She was my main researcher, also co-author of the journal that we did, a journal article that we did on this. So if you want to read any more, 2016, Journal of Experimental Criminology, just have a look at that. Now, what we did was we came up with an idea of a forensic service to break and enters that wasn't business as usual. So that was the premise that we started with. We came up with that because we decided break and enters. Whilst I listened to the commissioner yesterday from the Met say that crime is escalating out of control in many areas, fraud, cybercrime, terrorism, sexual offences, absolutely. Burglaries of dwellings, and that's what I focused on, is still, and in 2014, was a very prominent issue in our community in Queensland. And yes, the 10-year graphs have shown that burglaries have been going down, not only in Australia, also in the UK, also in a number of other locations, but it was still causing a lot of concern to the community. All the victims of crime surveys nominated that as a great concern, and they're high volume. We were in the Brisbane area, which is where I ran this RCT. There was over 100 per week of burglaries, and that's what we estimated we would get out of this experiment. Now, since I did this experiment in 2014, in Queensland and in Australia, the burglary trend has altered and it's turned upwards. I don't know what it is in the UK, but we certainly have had a bottoming out in 2014-15. We had a single-digit increase last year, and just in the last financial year, 16-17, we, and this data has not been released, so I won't give the actual figure, it's a very significant increase, near double digits, in burglary offences and a number of other property offences that we regarded as going down. So it's a very key area, was a key area, and I think still is a key area to be focused on. So forensics, we had to think about with the UQ researchers, what can we do to reduce crime in the forensic world? Well, we came up with the idea of attacking burglaries, but we had four main challenges that we hit straight up. Our first challenge, resistance to change. Shock horror, police don't like change. They don't like change that involves universities as well. So it was a double whammy. So my first experience with the University of Queensland was a manager's meeting. Senior officers from forensics, we met, and the University of Queensland were going to come in and pitch to us running an RCT. And I had a vague idea what that was about, but not much. Wow, it was very hostile from us to the university. And I was quite shocked by the resistance from people who are really, really good operators and great managers. They just didn't want a piece of it. They said, no, we do a great job. We're the very best in Australia. We're, you know, there's nothing much more we could do. So that's where we started. Our culture was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, not that open to the university, across the organisation. Lorraine talked about Professor Inspector Newman, who's attached to her university. We've also got a full-time inspector attached to Griffith University Criminology and an inspector attached full-time to QUT, Queensland University of Technology. So that's three full-time senior officers who work with the universities and the criminology departments. That's where we are now. That's not where we were 3-4 years ago. So we looked at previous research, another challenge. I said, well, okay, let's have a look what everyone else has done, especially in UK, because UK were quite advanced in a lot of things. We could find no research, no RCTs, no real trials run in the forensic sphere. The Roman trial in the US 2008, it's about DNA, using DNA in Brecken Ennis. I could stand here for an hour and talk about what I think of that trial. It's interesting, but it really was, where we were 15 years ago. So there wasn't anything to lean on in the research. So we had to come up with something. We had to design our own approach, implement it, design an implementation strategy and track it and come up with that. So that's what we did. What I did, university didn't come up with the ideas of what the experimental design strategy would be. I got together with three very best practitioners across the state. We've got 500 forensic personnel. I picked three who were the best in their fields and highly regarded. And we met on a number of occasions informally. We'd go out and sit around at a pub for 2 hours. We'd have a formal meeting in the office, whatever. We did a lot of workshopping and they came up with the strategies. And that's probably why, and I'll preface what we came up with too many strategies and we implemented too many things because they had some fantastic ideas and they wanted to have a go. What we came up with, I'll give it a summary. A response to burglaries more akin to a major crime response. Not that sort of major crime response, but spend more time, be more thorough, that you do it a more serious offence. And I'm not saying Brecken Ennis is not a serious offence, but it gets a certain amount of attention from the forensic people. So study design, 72 forensic officers for the study. There were over 7 forensic units across the Brisbane region. There's around 80 forensic officers in that area. It's 250 statewide who do this. So nearly a third of the forensic staff in the state were involved in this. So a fair proportion. They were randomly assigned. I helped Dr. Antrobus. I paired each one and I put them in what I thought was a reasonable list of control and experimental. And I said, well, look, I've matched them. They're pretty, this is as equal as you'll get. And I didn't understand random assignment at that time. And she sort of said, we can't use that. That's got some bias. And in hindsight, I very quickly realised that. So she split them up using the program. They were randomly assigned. So we had 36 each, which is pretty good. We then ran a number of upskilling workshops with the experimental group. So 36, we ran 3 different workshops. What did that involve? Well, I could speak, and I won't go into it because of time here, but it involved a lot of new techniques, motivation. We had Peter Martin, Assistant Commissioner Peter, now Deputy Commissioner Peter Martin, came to each workshop, gave an hour to each workshop, and was very motivating to the staff. Most of them who've never, ever, ever spoken to an Assistant Commissioner or even a Superintendent half the time, they were very... So we gave all our best practitioners came in, came up with new ideas, showed them what they did. We bought new technology. Basically, we threw a lot at motivating and upskilling our 36 forensic officers. Now, that caused a lot of angst. Initially, I had to get consent from the experimental group to participate because the university is overseeing what we did. There was some angst about signing that, so we defeated that. But in the control group, we had a lot of people upset that they weren't part of it. I had a 10-page email sent to me by a control group person telling me why what I was doing is unethical and that I was going to deliver a different service and it wasn't fair. So there was a lot of battle. And of course, I didn't know then what I know today. And I'd go back to the university and say, this is going on. And they told me that's what's to be expected. So, and that's exactly what it was. So we got into action and there was 978 burglary offences reported over the 8-week period that we ran this. So that fitted they weren't shops, they weren't sheds, they were just burglaries of dwellings. About 125 per week was more than we estimated. We just underestimated that. Each victim, control and experimental, were sent out a survey and that measured procedural justice. I did miss that. The University of Queensland delivered some procedural justice training to the experimental group, and that focused around the usual procedural justice issues and
better communication strategies. And we found that fitted in really well with the all the other training we did. So we sent out surveys to everyone. The university collated those. The results, I haven't got the results here because they weren't statistically significant in terms of the procedural justice, but all our other results were, and I'll go through those shortly. Each officer filled out a checklist every day from the experimental group. And each day for 8 weeks, I monitored every job, looked at every job. And having looked at 978 break-and-enters over 8 weeks, I didn't see a big difference in the results. Here we go. All right, I don't like slides with lots of information, but in case anyone wants a copy of the PowerPoint, I'm happy to give that. This would summarise it nicely in terms of what was collected. So that's what we got at the crime scene. 56% of the break-ins were done by the control group. 44% were allocated to the experimental group. And you'll see why in a second. And that was not unsurprising. 11% of the break-ins of the 978 were not attended. We call that NFA. 14% in the control group, only 6% in the experimental group. We encourage experimental officers, don't not go to a job unless you're absolutely... 15% is the average in normal life. So that gave us some confidence that what we were getting back from the control group was pretty consistent with what they normally do. Time at scene is probably the biggest difference. 48 minutes control, 82 at the experimental group at each break and enter. It's 40% difference. So that was the starkest change that really surprised me straight up. I thought, wow, they've spent a lot more time. Fingerprint exams at scene was much higher for the experimental group. Collection of DNA at scene was much higher. I'll race through this. So, well, if you're going to collect a lot more forensic evidence, you want to hope it identifies more suspects. That's the whole idea. So this is what we were really, really interested in. The control group got an 8% hit rate on all their break-and-enters from their fingerprint exams. That is consistent with the last 10 years across all our data, and we have a plethora of data. The experimental group, just over 16%. A doubling of the number of suspects, and that doesn't mean they were offenders or, you know, suspects, you know, leads to follow up. DNA was, again, fairly significant, just over 2% for the control, fairly normal, 3%'s about normal, and our experimental group was 5%. Doesn't sound a lot. What did it do? And this is probably to the nitty-gritty of it. 21.8% of all the 978 break-and-enters were solved, classified as solved. Of that, and that's above our normal 15, 16, 17% statewide. Of that, experimental was almost 26%, and the control was just 18.5%. So we saw a big difference in the solved level. So I had a good look at, Emma Antrobus did, and this is all reported in our journal article. We had a look at the solves. The experimental group had a far higher contribution in their forensic evidence in the solves. It was up near 40% compared to down around 25%. So basically, they collected a lot more, they identified a lot more, and a lot more break-and-ends got solved. Just 5 key learnings. Procedural justice. It did work. The training did help, made the clients happier, and it helped our staff with their communication. Fingerprint skills can be upscaled, whether it's motivation or technical. I think it's more motivation than technical. It's a bit of a combination. I wrote a whole chapter on that. DNA and volume crime, we only collect 2 in Queensland. We allowed the experiment to collect whatever they wanted. We didn't see any great value in that, and we've realised our triaging to 2 is very effective. Extra time at scene, definitely worthwhile, but it's not a matter of saying spend more time at the scene. And don't try too many strategies because it's a little bit hard, as Professor Sherman would say, to identify what's really had the effect. The future WA police are looking at a replication. I'm in communication with them. And my thesis for my year 2 study here at Cambridge is a longitudinal study on my original study, which I'm doing now, so I won't talk about the results from that. Thank you.